today we continue in a series entitled Unexpected for those Sundays that lead up to Christmas Eve service. And we're looking at the fact that having a baby out of wedlock was not in the original plans for Mary and Joseph. Jesus entered our world in the most unexpected of times and unexpected of ways, a king born of the humblest beginnings. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for the time that we do celebrate and remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you, because you truly are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Life is filled with all kinds of challenges. And sometimes I think that we elevate circumstances that to the level say they're challenges when honestly they may really be more of the category of being inconveniences. For example, about a year ago, the movie was released, Star Wars, The Force Awakened, in December, and they planned the big release in many theaters across the country on one day. And I have to think that maybe one of the final showings that day happened out in California because they were going to do a midnight showing. Many people were very excited about that showing. The lines were long, and people were really anticipating the release of that show. And got into the theater, and the movie began, and not far into the movie, there was a glitch with the projector. And someone came out and said they were working on it, but not to worry that whatever they missed, they would catch up with. Well, it didn't really work out that way, and they lost about 10 minutes of that movie. So the viewers were not really very excited about that, but especially became a problem when a little further into the movie, there was another glitch. And, you know, people went crazy in those pauses all through the theater. They were on their social media making all these posts on Facebook and taking pictures with their cameras. And people were even standing in their theater seats and saying, "Ah!" To them, that was not just an inconvenience. That was a real challenge. And Scripture does tell us often that in life, there will be challenges. When I heard this story, I couldn't help but remember back to a similar situation that happened back in 1968. And in that year, the Jets were playing the Raiders out in Oakland. And the game had been back and forth the entire time. And it finally reached 29-29, and the Jets kicked a field goal. It was 32-39, and there were about 50 seconds left of the game. And the Raiders had the ball, and the game was going up to about 7 o'clock was the anticipated finish time. And it was getting to be 7 o'clock, and there were still about 50 seconds left of this game. But all of a sudden, instead of the game being shown, they saw a little girl in braids who loved the Alps and who lived there with her grandfather. You know that game, if you remember, has become called the Heidi game, and the fans went nuts. I thought it was funny that a humorist said this: men who would not get out of their chair for an earthquake made their way to the phone to call NBC. Now, we also have to laugh because in that statement, I think it shows when it happened because it said men made the way to the phone to call, whereas if it happened in today's world, of course, we just have to pick up our phones. So certainly throughout our lives, we do have challenges, and they take all kinds of faces and all kinds of forms in our lives. You know, the weather can blow into our world, creating a challenge just as it has recently for those in Tennessee. A challenge can arrive so unexpectedly as it did recently on the campus of Ohio State. And this week, there are those who have unexpectedly received a challenge of a diagnosis they didn't expect, the challenge of a spouse's health that was becoming more compromised, and the challenge that there was that job was no more. Challenges we face in life don't necessarily only come from outside of us. Sometimes those challenges come from inside of us as we struggle with pride and arrogance and lust and envy. It's not all just coming from outside. Sometimes those things come from within us. So God came in the flesh into this world that was filled with moments of joys and sorrows. And during this Advent season, we're taking a look at the situations as unexpected breaks into our world, as it did long ago and as it still does today. The challenges are truly continue to be challenging for us. But also, I'd like to say that oftentimes, as we hear in the story of Joseph, that they can be an opportunity. I'd like to share with you the scripture that we've heard earlier today, but I want to for us to experience in a different way. I think that sometimes we risk, when there are scriptures that we, or stories that become rather familiar or rote to us, that we sometimes miss the impact or the awe of that. So I'd like to share in the reading of that scripture from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. But what I've done is I've projected it. You will see that there are occasional blanks in the scripture. So I'm going to look to you to be paying attention, and that I want you to fill in those words. I think that you'll be able to do that, and I will prompt you when it's time for that. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother had been engaged to, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, Anne of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had already been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Jesus awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him. The word of God for the people of God. We need to remember, Joseph was just an ordinary man who unexpectedly was challenged to do something extraordinary, something in that moment in his life that felt truly anything but extraordinary, truly just simply felt like an unreasonable challenge. He was the earthly father. God was the one who had planted his sinless seed into the virgin womb of Mary, who was engaged to be married to Joseph. A divine DNA proceeded from the heavenly father. Joseph was Jesus' legal father, but not his literal father. The marriage of Mary and Joseph would have been arranged by their parents when they were small children. And starting to get to know one another, they would have been told to learn to love one another. Not fall in love, but to learn to love one another. To learn that it was a choice, it was a decision, it was a commitment. And that's what they were to be about. So they spent a lot of time together getting to know one another throughout their childhood and young adulthood. And so life was unfolding just as Joseph would have expected it to have been unfolding. In fact, he would have, as his life was unfolding, because he was raised in a faithful family, he would have been familiar with the words of prophet Isaiah, who had said, "Unto us a child would be given, unto us a son would be born. And his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the government would be upon his shoulders, and the increase of his government and of his peace there would be no end." Joseph would have known that this promise was foretelling of Jesus. But Joseph himself understood himself as a carpenter. Probably a good carpenter, but he was a commoner. He was a laborer. He was just a regular kind of guy, nothing extraordinary. And Mary, sweet little girl that she also was from a humble background. And they had no illusions that he and Mary would actually become parents of the great Messiah. That was until that visit from the angel who told him differently, who brought him a challenge, a new challenge for his life. And he was faced with a true challenge and a true dilemma. If he said the baby was his, it'd be a lie. If he accused Mary of unfaithfulness, she was going to be stoned. If he took Mary as his wife, he'd have to pack up all of his tools and their belongings and move far enough away so that the taint of her shame would not follow them to their new community. Joseph woke from his sleep from this message. And what he realized is it was time for him to act. And in verse 24, that's what it said, is that Joseph did. And his decision ultimately was to be faithful to the will of God, to do what God had called him to do, to bear that responsibility and to bear that shame as if Mary had sinned. Joseph's decision was to do what was right, no matter the cost. because it was God's will for him, and because Joseph had been known all of his life as a righteous man, which meant all of his life and all of the little things leading up to this moment, he had always lived right. He had done right with God. So the little steps throughout his life had prepared him then for this big step when God stepped in and called him to this challenge that truly would call him to sacrificial action. So he took Mary as his wife, and he had no union with her. And he named their son Jesus, which was counter to the tradition of that culture, because typically that child would have received his own name, a family name. But he followed what God said, name him Jesus. Keep in mind, we hold Mary and Joseph in high regard for being the parents of Jesus. We see them as what an honor. But remember that in their day, when they lived that out, they lived under a cloud of public shame, as though they were guilty of immorality. And Joseph accepted the care of a woman who was thought to be a fornicator and reared a child who was thought to be illegitimate. But because they both had been visited by an angel of God, they knew differently. In the end, Joseph chose to trust God. That certainly was a challenge 2,000 years ago to an individual that I like us to remember was just an ordinary man. But those challenges, consider in today's world, maybe the situation, the circumstance is a little different, but the challenges still come into our lives. So I'd like us to reflect back on this and take this message forward to today to inform us what does it look like when these challenges come into our lives in today's circumstances? What does it look like for us to trust God in the midst of those times? What does that look like? So I'd like to share with you a 3-minute video taken from a couple who are members of a United Methodist Church in Northern Indiana. Because I think we can see and feel the power of the challenge that they have in their life, but I think we also clearly hear from them what they understand, what it means to trust God. Will you watch this video with me?
He was taken away. I didn't get to hold him. I remember briefly them holding him by my face, but not the beautiful picture of holding your child and slightly crushing to your spirit to just continue to hear all these things that are wrong. And then you just kind of sit there and you're like, what? Like, what happens now?
Pregnant with your first child, you just expect the normal, right? Because that's what 90% of people go through. As we had appointments leading up to it, it became clear that it wasn't normal.
30 weeks they put me on bed rest, but I wouldn't say I truly believed anything was wrong with my child until the day that he was born.
Everything goes out the window. So we went from being in South Bend, delivering a baby, to 6 hours later, he's being flown down to Indianapolis.
Nephrology came in and told us about his single kidney that was in renal failure. You're just constantly getting like unexpected news, and you're sitting there going, wait, something else is wrong? Daily occurrence in the NICU for like the first week.
Ultimately, we got a diagnosis that's called Vater syndrome. And what it is it's under development along your center line. Quickly learn that not everything is gonna be like you want it to be. It was going to be lifelong. What does this mean for him growing and going to school and having friends and getting married and all of those sorts of things too? You know, you get to the next surgery, get to the next surgery, get to the next surgery, and then it's, okay, what's next?
He had his first surgery at day 2. He's had 18 surgeries over his first 8 years of life.
We knew early on that he was going to have a kidney transplant when he was first born, but he had to be a certain size and a certain weight to have a kidney transplant. And as he started to grow and get taller and bigger, his kidney function couldn't keep up. And early on when we got tested when he was 2 years old, we found out that I was a really good match for him. I mean, it really is a no-brainer when your son needs a kidney and you have it to give to him. I was going to do it. We knew it was going to be a long ordeal. We knew it was going to be about 6 weeks that we would be down in Cincinnati. I don't know that it really hit me until a week or two beforehand. like what was happening, that I would be going through surgery and, you know, I might not make it. And so you just start thinking about, what if this is the last time I see my kids? What if, you know, what if it doesn't go as planned?
I don't think I'll ever forget standing in the room where they send you off to surgery. And they brought Adrian in to where Jack was waiting to go off to surgery. And I don't think I'll ever be able to put into words like that situation. I mean, I was sending off my husband and my child, and there was a chance that neither one of them were walking back out. So it's like you're literally like handing off your family members into God's hands and saying, I trust you. And you give them a hug and you give them a kiss and you send them off and you watch them be wheeled away. Because at that moment, there's nothing else that you can trust other than trusting God that he's in control.
So as we talk about life challenges and we chuckle about, sometimes we call inconveniences to be challenges, I think that it's a very real, a very, very real part of reality, that those challenges still come into our lives in all stages of life. And they're never simple. But the one thing that we can know that Joseph modeled for us is that in the midst of the experience, that God wants us to trust in him, that he will guide and that he will provide, just as he did with Joseph 2,000 years ago.